genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Ah, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. And you'll want to keep that number handy because we're going to be having a giveaway during our first segment here today. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is ideas you may not have considered. Each of my guests will give us new information with which to view today's top news stories. My first guest is the former CEO of not one, but two environmental companies. We'll examine global warming and its consequences from his book, A Truthful Mist. My second guest is CNBC editor from the floor of the Chicago Board of Trade. His no-nonsense style of reporting on the bond and currency markets make him the favorite among investors concerned with the growing size and scope of government involvement in the financial markets. We'll discuss the end of quantitative easing too and the future of the bond and currency markets. My third guest is the CEO of Pacific Research Incorporated, a California think tank focusing on health care. She'll examine the newly enacted health care bill and tell us the truth about Obamacare. And if you want to join in the conversation or if you want to ask a question, you can always call us at 639-0008. Now, we do have a giveaway for you. I've got some great tickets to go see Barbara Morrison Saturday, July the 16th, Music Under the Stars. Two tickets that you can have. Their retail value is $20 each, so it's a $40 value. And to make it more interesting, in addition to the concert, you can make it a date night because I've also got two coupons for giveaways at Urbane Cafe. You can get a salad or you can get a sandwich from Urbane Cafe, one for each of you as well. I'll take the third caller at 639-0008, 639-0008. My first guest, Roger Coley, graduated from the Wharton School of Business at the University of Philadelphia. He served as president of two public environmental companies, both regarded as the technological leaders in their respective fields. Roger also served for 15 years as a trustee for the famed Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. These life experiences exposed Roger to both the best available engineering practices and cutting-edge scientific methods. Roger lives with his wife near Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. His new career is writing nonfiction, fiction, and screenplays. We'll discuss his latest book, A Truthful Myth. Welcome to the show, Roger. How are you today?
Thank you, Billy. I'm fine.
Well, glad to have you on board. And let's just start out, before we jump into our discussion about global warming, let's talk about your connection with the area, if you will, please, because I loved it. In your book, you've got one of the characters attends Montecito University. So you know something about the area. What's your connection with Santa Barbara Ventura?
Yes, I have a daughter living in Encino who went to the University of California, Santa Barbara. You know, a perfect climate. So my wife and I spend our winters now in Santa Barbara, and we have also a son in San Francisco. So we have two kids and four grandchildren in California.
Oh, that is marvelous. We're glad to hear that. So next time you're in the area, stop by the station. We'll have you on. Now, the other thing that I liked about the title of your book is that it's a play on words for Al Gore's movie, An Inconvenient Truth, that earned Al Gore two Academy Awards for the best documentary and for the best song. So let's take a look at global warming. I mean, this is a hotly debated emotional issue. And you pointed out in your book, 15,000 years ago, which is a very short time in geological terms, the Earth emerged from the Little Ice Age, where greenhouse gases reheated the surface. Now, nobody understands why that happened yet. Of course, nobody was around to have recorded it either. Clearly, though, man-made greenhouse gases were not the issue. So let's start with the facts. What do we know about global warming today, and what impact do man-made greenhouse gases play in the Earth's warming?
All right, fine. First, in that regard, most people don't realize that the Earth travels around the sun in an elliptical path, and that happens about every 100,000 years. So obviously that's the first step in why we have these glacial periods, these every 50 to 100,000 years. And then also, a lot of people don't realize, picture the Earth as a little bit of a top. The Earth wobbles about every 20,000 years. And also the Earth tilts about 3 degrees every 40,000 years. So imagine those three factors have to have some bearing upon our climate, because most of our energy does come from the sun. So that is the reason why we moved from 20,000 years ago, where we were in the depths of an ice age, took 10,000 years, and all of a sudden 10,000 years ago, we had the agricultural revolution, where we learned to grow food. And that was the beginning of what we call modern civilization. A lot of it had to do, obviously, with the climate change. So in that regard, the global warming that took place during that time was a great thing. And that is the initial point I make in the book.
All right.
Let's not talk only about the downside. There's an upside to this.
All right. Well, give us the upside. My guest is Roger Coley. Roger, give us the upside to that, please.
Well, the United Nations scientists, who did so much work over the last 10, 15 years, point to some 20 adverse factors if the climate continues to warm, and only two beneficial. But one of the great beneficial factors is increased food production, which obviously every person, all 6 billion of us, have to eat every day. So there's a great upside potential, and you can imagine with a warmer climate going up through North Dakota and into Canada, we'll be able to produce a lot more food, as would Russia, even up into Siberia. So there are plus factors and there are minus factors. I'm not discounting that. That's not so much the issue. The issue is, you use the word debate. The one side in this global warming controversy is that there is no debate. And this is what prompted me to write the book, by those saying there's no debate. The science is done. The science is settled. And the amazing thing, Billy, I think your audience would like to know is, and really the most important message that I have for your audience, and that is that the science is not settled. Our Supreme Court, comprised obviously of attorneys, made a scientific decision in the year 2007 that carbon dioxide is a pollutant, and therefore if the EPA decides that that pollutant is endangering human health, the EPA must regulate it. And if you ask the EPA why they're doing it, they're saying because the science is settled. That is what prompted me to write the book, where one side is saying the science is settled. And obviously the public is confused, Congress is confused, and at the end of this, hopefully I can give you and your audience my solution to this controversy.
Well, no surprise that Congress is confused on something like this. It's a very difficult issue. My guest is Roger Coley, author of the book, A Truthful Myth. And Roger, in my lifetime, and you're probably a contemporary of mine, in my lifetime, in the 1970s, news magazines were warning us of the coming ice age.
Exactly.
You know, they were worried about global cooling, not global warming. So 30 years later, which in geological terms is just a blink of an eye, now all of a sudden scientists are worried about global warming. So how can the scientific community change its opinion so quickly, and how could those scientists back in the 1970s have been so wrong, Roger?
Let's go to the correlation. I think everyone agrees. There are four groups here, Billy. You have the alarmist on the one side at one end, which is James Hansen at Columbia, and that's where Al Gore got his information. And those alarmists believe that most of this is going to happen so quickly that it's going to be out of control very shortly. And, of course, I make that happen in my novel to make an impact. And then there's a great big group called the Believers, most of the scientists that did the UN work called the Believers. And then you have a group of skeptics, and then you have a small group of deniers. Now, in these four groups, no one denies this, and that is this correlation. Carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas. We could not live on this planet without greenhouse gases. Water vapor, by far being the largest, maybe 80% of the impact of warming comes from the water vapor, and some from carbon dioxide. So carbon dioxide is important. We would be, without greenhouse gases, about 0 degrees here Fahrenheit. Instead, we're at 59 degrees as a world average temperature, and that's how we live. So let's recognize that the carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas. We all say that. Number two is that since the Industrial Revolution, by burning fossil fuels, we, man, have put more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, number two.
Okay.
Number three, almost all the scientists agree that since the Industrial Revolution, the average world temperature has increased a little more than 1 degree Fahrenheit. It's been up and down. As you pointed out, from 1940 to 1970, that 1 degree went down a degree, and then in 1980 to 2000, it went back up a degree. So roughly, we are up about 1 degree Fahrenheit since the Industrial Revolution. So the believers, and particularly the alarmists, say that trend is going to continue. The warming that we're getting is man-caused, and as it continues, it's going to lead to all these adverse impacts. Now, the skeptics say, we agree that carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas. The planet has warmed. We're putting more of it up. But we cannot agree that this warming that's occurred is all due to man. Maybe a little bit, some of it, but not all due to man, number one. Number two, as you put more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, the temperature does not increase in a linear fashion. It tends to diminish. And that's part of the scientific debate that many that you hear deny that there's a scientific debate, but there really is. Billy, I'm a business guy. If I were running a company called Climate Corporation, and I had the scientists from the alarmist side, the believer side, the skeptics, and the deniers all come to me with the science that's been put out there the last 20 years, I would say, fellows, go back into your laboratory and do it again. It's not good enough. It's not good enough to pass. We can't move this corporation ahead with the type of science you've given us. Now, obviously, the alarmists and the believers would say, Roger, you're full of it. We absolutely have looked at everything. There's nothing that could be causing this climate warming other than man. And that's the position I take. And then a skeptic says, well, wait a minute. The oceans have an effect. You see it in California with El Nino, La Nina. The varying patterns of the jet streams have a big impact on climate. The ocean temperatures, the wind. When you're hot, you turn a fan on, right? So wind cools. Another factor is clouds. Nobody can really understand exactly the impact of the clouds. It's like putting an umbrella up. So the more clouds, the cooler it is.
All of these.
We have this constant debate, and that's what I'm trying to get to. In all this debate, what do we do about it? Is there a solution to all this?
And that is the million-dollar question. My guest is Roger Coley, author of the book, A Truthful Myth. Roger, we've got to take a break here.
Sure.
Big shout-out to Yoli, who is from Santa Paula, who won the two tickets as well as the two meals at Urbane Cafe. Congratulations to Yoli. Thank you to all the other listeners who did call in and unfortunately weren't winners. We'll have more to give away in future shows. So thanks for that. Now, Roger, back to you. So, okay, we've got the four groups. I like that. And we've got this real concern over what to do. How is it then that the alarmists and the believers have sort of taken over the media and have hijacked this issue? And we seem to be moving forward down their path more than the path of the skeptics and the deniers.
Well, part of it could be Billy's sympathy. The African nations, the less developed nations, see droughts. A lot of people live along the coast, and they see one of the adverse impacts coming would be higher sea levels. People might have to move back away from the coast. And so they're poor countries, and they're looking for ways to adapt to this, and they're looking to Europe, the United States, and the richer countries to help provide them money. And that is about all that's come out of all the United Nations meetings so far, is some vague promises to provide more money to those nations.
So, all right. Well, let me stop you.
I'd say there's a sympathy factor there that the media jumps into and say, oh, woe is us. How do we help these people?
Well, let me stop you on the sympathy factor, Roger, if I can, and ask
sure.
a follow-on question. Because, yes, on the one hand, there is the worry about people who will have to move back from the ocean front because of the rising tides, if indeed that happens.
Yeah.
But here we are. The United States, Western Europe, went through the Industrial Revolution, where we took advantage of burning all the fossil fuels, putting all the carbon into the air, creating all of that. And now, if we were to say, oh, this is all bad, we're going to deny those poorer countries, and maybe not even the African countries, but it could also include Brazil, China, India. We're going to deny those developing countries a chance to develop along the same path that we did, simply because we're going to deny them access to fossil fuels, which was the driving factor in our economic revolution. Isn't that a form of economic imperialism?
Exactly. So if you read the Wall Street Journal, they would make that argument exactly, that the best way to help those nations is through economic progress, innovation. After all, it's 90 degrees here in Philadelphia today. I have the air conditioning on.
Mm-hmm.
So we as man, with our innovation, we are learning and have learned how to adapt to climate change. And that, of course, is part of my solution, is further innovations in adaption. And so it depends which side of the coin you're looking at here. The empathy to help these people by immediately giving them funds that they can adapt, or long-term giving them the opportunity to grow their economies and move into what the United States and Western Europe enjoys. And that's part of the debate.
That is, and that's a crucial part of the debate that's perhaps being overlooked, and as the skeptics and the deniers get squeezed out of that conversation.
Yeah, you know, exactly. The United States doesn't have a real big problem here. Out on the West Coast, if we had rising sea levels, you've got a lot of you have a lot of beaches that might be impacted. But look, so much of that coast along there is cliffs, and I don't think, certainly in your lifetime, Billy, and mine, we're not going to see any adverse impact from a rising sea level on the West Coast, unless you're living right along more or less small beach areas.
Very true. My guest is Roger Coley, author of the book A Truthful Mist. We've been talking about global warming. Roger, you've got a fascinating perspective. If people want to learn more about you, learn more about the book and your perspective, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, there on one side is a website called realclimate.org, and there you'll see the thousands of believers, the scientists who blog on that site. What you're going to find, you'll learn a lot, but what you're going to find, despite what a lot of the media feel as though they're all united, they're not. You read constant interaction among them where they disagree on this and disagree on that. And that's an amazing thing to see. On the other side, you can go to some of the skeptics, the very intelligent ones, the top guy at MIT, Richard Lindzen, L-I-N-D-Z-E-N, and you can subscribe to what he writes at MIT, and he's a skeptic. He agrees to the correlation, but he doesn't agree that we're headed for disaster. Now, in my book, the way I make this point, you can go to my own website, truthfulmist.com, where I am running a blog, and I'm trying to bring about all sides of this argument here, and then, of course, ultimately a solution. But there is a lot to read out there. As I say, the New York Times is going to be on one side of the issue, the Wall Street Journal on the other side. Quite interesting.
It is, and it's a fascinating subject, one that we are going to debate for years to come. My guest has been Roger Coley, author of the book, A Truthful Myth, a novel. Roger, thank you so much for shedding some light on the issue of global warming. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you very kindly.
Thank you.